I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Tom Ace says, a little haiku to summarize the game. The Browns got beat. Baker took a seat. Odell in stocking feet. Is that a haiku?
Haikus don't have to rhyme.
Well, he made it rhyme. Are haikus not supposed to rhyme?
They have a syllable count.
Yeah,
right?
That's what it is.
They do, yes.
What is it, 575 or something like that?
Something like that.
Syllables?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Browns. Is Browns one or two? I think it's one, right?
Browns is one.
One.
Browns.
I don't know how well our
Browns.
Our listeners Browns. Do in this circumstance.
What the hell?
Browns.
I mean, we really don't keep score. I'll take your haiku. I don't care. 216-578-0092. I wish I could do that. Rudes. Roads.
Roads.
Rudes. We go to the, let's welcome in Daryl. Daryl brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. His report's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning. I'd rather count syllables than Baker Mayfield interception.
Oh!
Oh, come on,
Daryl. Ryder. So
from the top rope.
Oh, predictable. Oh, boy. Cheap shot artist Daryl, the dirtiest player in the game.
Daryl, should Baker have played yesterday?
No, he shouldn't have. I would not have played him. I would have pulled him at halftime. I would not have played him. I respect and appreciate Baker's toughness. That is not a question in my view, but he hurt the team by playing yesterday. I don't think Kevin Stefanski did a good job judging that situation. And I don't think Kevin Stefanski did a good job putting Baker in a position to succeed against that Steelers front either.
Daryl, I there's got to be a thought in the back of his mind. I got to hold on to my job no matter what. Because if Case Keenum goes in there and plays exceedingly well and they win, even though I'd still say, hey, it's Baker's job, and I think the Browns would still say Baker's job, you know the calls would be different.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, if Case goes in there and he plays well yesterday and they win the football game, yeah, I get it. Again, I understand it. I respect it. But Baker playing yesterday did the Cleveland Browns no good. There's a bigger picture here. His development is paramount to this organization. And I don't know what you gain from that, because now not only – is he going to deal with that injury going into this week? He might have to deal with this injury longer, as opposed to if you had sat him, allowed him the week plus to kind of heal and get a little better. Let's be honest. The Cincinnati Bengals are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. You could go back, put Baker on the field against Cincinnati and think nothing of it. But I think they did him a little bit of a disservice yesterday by, having him play. I get if the medical professional signed off and whatever, then he's expected to perform at a high level. I get all that. But, yeah, he just absolutely got battered and bruised yesterday.
Daryl, I got to see, this is where I disagree a little bit, because he probably shouldn't have played from a physical standpoint. But, I've called him out. I thought he was a fake at the beginning of the year. I go, this is a guy who is more than willing to call out radio show hosts and college teams and college players. But when it comes to grown men in the NFL, he's really backed down and curled up and died. I didn't see that yesterday. I think he did try to gut it out and try to do what he could. even though knowing he wasn't good enough. And maybe that's a Stefanski argument instead of a Baker argument. But I actually gave him credit for trying to step up and be a leader. I think that, to me, I think you're playing the long game there instead of just going and beating the Steelers.
Yeah, and you know, I give Stefanski credit after the game. He took ownership of you know, what happened, and that's what leaders do. You know, the Baker conversation gets muddied by everything that the Browns have been through in recent years with the turnover and the turmoil, and that you know, I think it's too early to say that Baker Mayfield's a failure, but I will also say on the flip side of that coin, I don't see a future Hall of Famer in him right now. And maybe that is a very unfair standard to measure, you know, but I'm getting, you know, injury aside, I would like to see more from Baker from a production standpoint and from elevating those around you standpoint. And again, I understand there's only so much you can do when you can barely breathe and play because your entire chest and ribs are just killing you every time you take a step or take a shot like he did yesterday. But at some point, he has to begin elevating those around him. And I don't think we've seen a lot of that early in his career. And in fairness to him too, the Browns as a franchise have not done a lot to enable Baker Mayfield's success on the field either.
Daryl Stefanski said numerous times yesterday he was going to take the blame for basically everything. I think he took the blame for COVID-19 and it spread across the country as well. So what could he have done to put Baker in a better situation knowing his offensive line wasn't protecting? And, you know, Kareem Hunt, 3 yards a carry yesterday. That was not the running game that we had expected or had basically been experiencing.
Yeah, they missed Nick Chubb yesterday. There's no question about that. You know, I guess the short answer to that, Lima, is more rollouts, designed rollouts, instead of rollouts based off of what pressure's coming, you know what I'm saying, and Baker running for his life. Because you could see the Steelers really tried to hem him in yesterday and not allow him to get outside that pocket and be able to see well down the field. That first that interception on the opening drive, that Minka Fitzpatrick, that was just a horrible throw. A throw that if you're Baker Mayfield, you cannot make under any circumstances. Like that's a QB 101 throw. You don't make that throw, plain and simple. If you throw it away, you know, if something's not there, but you certainly do not throw that. And then the second interception, he's running for his life and he just chucks it, you know. And again, not a smart decision on his point. So, you know, it's not all on Kevin Stefanski. Baker's got to be better. And you know, I just think that takes time. And unfortunately, we are in a instant gratification situation. And everybody wants to know today, is Baker Mayfield that, you know, franchise quarterback that can lead this franchise for 15 years? And I just think right now, based on everything that has happened in his career here in Cleveland, it's not fair to grade him yet.
Dale Reiter joined us on the hotline. A little bit was made in the postgame press conference when it came to Odell and him showing some emotion a couple times during that game. What did you think of that? Is Odell somebody who can be a vocal leader the way he attempted to right before the end of the half? Oh boy.
He's supposed to care. Like, if he wasn't upset yesterday, I might be bothered by that. Mm. Like, I want guys that want to win. I want guys that want to perform it. Like the, and I think this is, you know, where a lot of the criticism this morning is coming from is that the bar's being raised here in Cleveland, right? Like, it's being elevated. It's not just, you know, win a couple of games a year and just be happy with that and be happy that the quarterback started all 16 games in the season and just these, you know, minuscule rungs on the ladder that the Browns have been able to climb since going 0-16. Like, the bar's being raised. They can legitimately make the playoffs this year. And quite frankly, it might be disappointing if they don't make the playoffs this year, especially because an extra team is able to get in that field. So the bar is raised, and I don't mind guys that show their passion and their enthusiasm, you know, as long as it's channeled properly. Odell should have been mad yesterday and frustrated and whatever. So I'm not going to sit here and criticize him. Is it a bad look that he's standing on the sidelines without his shoes on? Yeah.
And his stocking feet?
Yeah, probably not a great thing to do, okay? But if he's mad because his quarterback threw a stupid interception, I'm not going to get on the dude for that.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the hotline. Daryl, do you call them socks or do you call them stocking feet? That was a little weird when I heard that in the post game. I'm sorry.
I say socks.
He ripped off his shoes, spent the last bit of the game in his stocking feet. I mean,
that was a little odd.
People are referencing the fact that the elf, the brownie elf, that would be the epitome of stocking feet.
Is that what that is?
That's actually accurate there. You're right.
Well, I guess.
Are you trying to say Odell is Brownie the Elf?
Maybe he was showing leadership there.
Maybe he was.
Yes. Was he
Maybe
showing
they can
leadership?
Look to him.
Yeah.
All right, Daryl.
Leadership and loyalty.
I know it's so early. It's Monday this week, and we went through this last week, and I was nervous last Monday based on how Baker finished that game and the bad hit he took, and there were some issues there, and I wondered if that was going to be a bad omen for the week ahead, and turns out, unfortunately, I was right. How does Stefanski decide if Baker is good enough to go this week? Because you know Baker's going to say yes all week.
Of course he is. I think that, you know, Kevin Stefanski has to do, you know, what's right for the team and not worry about consecutive starts or, you know, whatever. He said it yesterday. If healthy, Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback. And I don't think that you're opening a can of worms in this situation. Baker has a legitimate injury. Got crushed in the ribs, right? Got hit, and and Stefanski said yesterday, I didn't pull him out for performance. I pulled him out to protect him. I didn't want to see him get hit again, okay? So if you're going to protect him in that game, then I think you have to protect him going forward. And if he is still feeling the way he did yesterday come Friday or Saturday this coming week here, then I think you got to start Case Keenum against the Bengals. And guess what? Case Keenum can beat the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I think that is the proper way to handle it. And again, I don't feel like you're creating a quarterback controversy by doing it.
See, you say that, but you know what will happen on Monday.
Well,
so
listen, I can't control what you guys talk about. I can't control about what the fans talk about. I'm just here to... I'm just trying to provide the analysis and the perspective for people, okay?
Yeah.
If Case Keenum goes out and throws for 500 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals and you guys want to talk about making a full-time change of quarterback, that's all you guys. That's not me. So, I think that Kevin Stefanski handled the situation as best as he could handle it yesterday. Again, would not have played Baker against the Steelers, though, if it was my call.
Somebody called up and said the Browns have won in spite of Baker Mayfield. I didn't agree with that whatsoever.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Do I think he's an MVP candidate right now? No, he doesn't even belong in the conversation. And quite frankly, I'd like to see Baker get to a point where he does belong in that conversation. But first things first, he's got to get comfortable with a coach, a coordinator, and an offensive system before we expect this guy to really perform at the level that we're all hoping he can.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. What'd you think of Myles Garrett?
That's exactly what I was hoping to see and have happened yesterday. Nothing. It was as if nothing happened last year. I don't necessarily buy that they were talking about family and friends when he went up and, you know, dapped him up and gave him a hug and put his arm around him there before the game that the CBS cameras were able to capture. But, he extends the sack streak. Great. They really did a pretty good job neutralizing him. I know holding calls are down, but I think the next thing that needs to happen for Miles is he needs to start getting some holding calls. Like, come on, man. Like,
that's the only way to block that guy. You're right.
they got two and three guys holding him, and they're not calling it. Like, but yeah, I mean, I was very pleased with the fact that there was clearly no residual activity from what took place last November.
Daryl, I totally agree. I know in the lead up to the game, we asked, "Hey, would you make Miles as a goof? Would you make Miles a captain?"
No.
Ken and I were both against it. We thought that was a Freddie Kitchens move.
Yeah, that would have been a Freddie Kitchens move. And I would not have made him a captain. Absolutely not.
I think, hey, this was great for this rivalry to spark interest again. And so the fans are all in again. And the fans are going to continue to be all in as the Browns hopefully are climbing upwards. And I didn't think Big Ben looked all that good yesterday at all. You want to talk about winning in spite of. I don't think Big Ben, he was trying to cough up that game early to you, which is weird to see. Normally, that hasn't been the formula for the Steelers and that dominance over the Browns, and we all know Big Ben's record. I just think it's important for this organization to get past the follies of last year, and that includes Myles Garrett. And I know they were talking about Kareem Hunt said, hey, we want to win one for Myles. I don't know if that's right or wrong. That you got to be in the locker room to understand that dynamic, but I was just glad to see that he was able to go up to him. I would have been surprised had I have seen it with Mason Rudolph. I don't know if they're ready for that yet.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. I'm fairly confident that this team's going to bounce back from this, just like they bounced back from that week one loss. Kevin Stefanski's done a great job managing things week to week. And, you know, it's, be perfectly honest with you, typically when I hang up the phone, I fire up the DVR and I rewatch the game. I'm probably not going to rewatch that yesterday. We all saw what happened, and it's on to Cincinnati, in my opinion.
Well, you're just not doing your job. I can't believe you would admit something like that.
I'm just saying, we saw it, right? I mean, we all know what happened.
That's true. Daryl Ryder joining us on the show says we're on to Cincinnati. Did you answer a question about Nick Chubb yet? I'm writing this down. I don't know if you did. Did you?
I mentioned they looked like they missed him yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, for him long term, there is one little silver lining here. Boy, this offense does need Nick Chubb. This is probably good for his agent, is it not?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And you know what? This offense also needs Wyatt Teller.
That's what I was most disappointed in. I thought Chris Hubbard came in and did a good job last week, and I thought he did a pretty good job in for Jack Conklin. Now, I know Pittsburgh's different from all those teams, but boy, that was a disappointment. I can't get over that. That was so awful yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is what it is, but that's what happens when guys go down, right? You look at the Browns safety situation. I mean, there's nothing you can do about injuries. They happen, and you put the best guy that you have left on the roster out there, and you hope that they're able to do the job. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Hopefully Hubbard can bounce back this week, because again, the Cincinnati Bengals are clearly not the Pittsburgh Steelers. And a week from now, we'll all be feeling pretty good because the Browns were able to beat up on the last place team in the division and kind of get that bad taste of what took place in Pittsburgh out of their mouth.
I'm hoping so. The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. Daryl, we'll see you in hell.
No, I will see you in Tampa, Ken. Don't lose faith.
That's a good line by Daryl. Well done. The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. His report's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. When we come back, got more of your calls, more people with pitchforks, more people with torches, and Lima, I got a tweet I want to send out. I want to run it by you when we come back before I send it, because I think I'm going to get killed on social media. It's Ken Kremen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.